This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays. With a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist, it's Natterdays.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Come on, Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
You were able to make it happen while I was gone, and I really do appreciate it, but it is good to be back.
Jealous. I hadn't been to Destin in several years, and that area.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, some of the best beaches we have in our country.
Oh, yeah.
That sugar white sandy beach they have down there, it's... My mom used to live in Destin. So Destin has been a place that, you know, I wish, you know, I don't wish she still lived there. I just wish she still had a house there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But it was always fun to visit there because we'd go one or two times a year.
Yeah.
For a while. And hadn't been in a few years now.
Yeah. Well, it was actually the Seacrest area, but yeah, I mean, it's all the same thing
close
there.
Close enough.
Down there on the 30A.
And, Rosemary, 30A. Yeah. Miramar, all that stuff.
Yeah, and it was really enjoyable. It was really enjoyable. And, you know, the one place that you had recommended to me to go down there while I was down there.
What was it?
The donut.
Oh, place. The donut hole. Oh, yeah,
the donut hole.
Yeah.
Tried to go there, could not get in.
Line was too long.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, you got to go early.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to get up and go early on vacation.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, for those listening that might be going to Destin at some point before the summer's up, they have and I'm telling you, people, you line up for, you wait 20 or 30 minutes in line for these donuts. That's how good they are. And it's one of them deals, kind of like a good barbecue house. When it's sold out, it's sold out. When it's, you know, when they're done, it's just, there's no more.
So it's better than Krispy Kreme?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay.
But they got this donut they make, and they're all filled donuts, but then you can get different stuff. But they have this chocolate-covered donut filled with this peanut butter frosting.
Ooh.
I
hate that we couldn't have gone.
Yeah, well,
I wish we could have. Yeah. We tried to, but because that's where...
Yeah, but you're right. Somebody's got to sacrifice for the group and be the one in line at 7:30 or 8, which isn't a terrible ask time of day, but when you're on, nobody wants to get up and go get donuts.
No.
But they're worth it.
Especially when you're there with a group of, you know, 10 to 15 people and everybody's expecting you. If you're going to go, you got to get it for the rest of the group. So,
yeah.
But it wasn't very enjoyable, and I will say, though, that... There are a few things when you go down there that I wish, you know, kind of like, wow, it'd be incredible if I could do this. One of those things being in the ice business. Tommy, I'm not kidding. I spent over $100 in ice.
$100?
$100 in ice.
Was there no hotels near you?
Nope. No hotels.
Steel ice? No place to steal ice?
Trust me, I tried.
No ice machine nearby? Yeah, they kind of locked that stuff down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Destin.
So the only places you could go was to the little mini gas station. So it was like, you want a bag of ice? $5.
Five bucks
for a bag of ice.
Oh, almighty.
But it's like when you have a group that has four or five coolers, I mean, what are you going to do? But you have no choice.
Well.
You have to buy ice.
There's no such thing as too much ice, too much tickets.
Yeah.
Too much beer.
Yeah.
You never have too much ice. Yeah.
But how expensive the ice was, it was just incredible. So I was like, man, I need to get in the ice business. I also need to get into the sunscreen business. I need to get... into a lot of different businesses.
The sunscreen thing is a racket.
I'm telling you.
Even when you're not on vacation, you just go buy some at Walmart or Sam's or wherever it is you shop. Those are where I always seem to shop. Sunscreen has gotten ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like they're all in cahoots with each other. You go to the Dollar General, it's still $8 or $10 for the DG brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to do if you don't? It's like, you can get our sunscreen or you can get cancer.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, they don't give you much of a choice. They know what they can do for it. So, but that's the crazy thing about because, you know, living here in Arkansas, obviously you don't have the need for going to get ice from the gas station as often or going to getting the sunscreen and all of that. But man, it's just incredible how, you know, if you were just in the ice business down there in that area of Florida, I feel like you could be very profitable. A very great business because I just could be wrong. I don't think it's too expensive to have ice. But there was a few things I learned down there while I was on the beach. And, you know, and it's funny, too, because one of the things that happened to me on the beach actually didn't happen on the beach. It happened while I was asleep. And that was this dream that I had. Now, before everyone starts wondering what the crap is going on.
Dreams.
I know.
What?
Maybe there was some weird things going on that attributed to the dreams and the feelings I had while I was asleep. But it had to do with the Arkansas Razorback football team, if you can believe it. I had a dream.
So you were dreaming about Arkansas football on your beach vacation in Destin, Florida.
Yeah, because I think it's kind of the opposite, Tommy. When you're not on vacation, you're dreaming about the beach. But when you're actually on the beach, you kind of have to dream about something else.
Was this a dream or a nightmare?
This was actually a dream, not a nightmare. If it was a nightmare, I would have woke up with the shakes and in a cold sweat. But this
usually
was,
when I'm dreaming about Arkansas football, it generally has been a nightmare here lately.
Normally, and you would think.
And then I realize I'm not asleep.
You would think.
Yeah.
But this time, it wasn't. It was a very, I don't know if you're somebody who has a lot of dreams or if you do dream what they're like, but this one was a very vivid and specific dream, which I find very odd. I don't really have those types of dreams. But it was so specific about the Arkansas Razorback football season and what they did, what they accomplished, how good they were, and the hope and inspiration that inspired in the Razorback fan base.
Man, I gotta get back down there. Ty, did you have any idea that mushrooms were growing on the beach in Destin? Because clearly he'd been in some mushrooms or something down there.
Just some
hallucinogenics or something.
You know, I'm starting to think that maybe something got slipped into a drink of mine or something, because it was so specific.
What's the green stuff again that's illegal in the U.S.? You can't drink.
You can't drink? Yeah,
I'm not sure
it's legal in every state. If you were the green stuff you're referring to.
The green stuff you can drink?
I don't know about the drink. You lost me in drink.
I'm not talking about purple drink. I'm talking about there's a green alcohol that is banned in the United States because it caused certain dreams.
Well, apparently he got a hold of some.
I don't know.
So it's going to be an enjoyable year according to your dream.
According to my dream, it's going to be an enjoyable year, an entertaining year, and a year that Razorback fans are actually going to be really excited about.
How much vodka does this take to get to this state of mind? We need to write this down because this may be very useful about October 15th.
Yeah, I'm hoping that
abstinence.
Abstinence.
That's something they teach in Bible school.
I think that's something completely different from what we're talking.
I don't know how to say
absinthe is what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Absinthe. No, I did not have any absinthe on this trip.
Or abstinence. Yeah,
or abstinence. Neither or.
He was living in sin.
Good grief.
Sin.
Can I tell my dream here real quick before we start getting really off the rails? My dream that I had was specifically about Chad Morrison year two, where it was really similar to year two under Bobby Petrino, where they went 7-5, where they put up really great offensive numbers, where they were really close in many games that they shouldn't have been close in. And I'm starting to wonder, did I just have a dream where Chad Morris was actually the coach in Bobby Petrino's head? I don't know. It was so similar and so specific. So maybe I'm tripping or something like that, which I'm sure I am. But they went 7-5. Ben Hicks performed greatly. You had the true freshmen step up. You had Rakeem Boyd and Devon Whaley rush for almost 1,000 yards apiece. You had the team where they started off 5-1 in the first six games. Their only loss being to A&M and a nail biter,
or a nose biter.
But I had it was so strange how specific this was.
Yes,
and I don't really know what to tell you about.
It feels like we need one of these if we're going to be talking about dreams.
Yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go with something a little more sinister when it came to my dream and what we were talking about. But yeah, it's a little more heavenly. I enjoy that sound effect a little more. But it was peaceful. It was wonderful. You know, something that everybody enjoyed watching. Not only being able to see Arkansas do really well, but to see how Chad Morris and this staff developed this team and making it to where the future is really bright. Not just to say that they could possibly go and win 7 or 8 games the next year, but where they can really build upon something and start competing for something they haven't competed for in quite some time. I don't really know why it happened, what caused it, why it was so specific or anything, but it's certainly one of
the
I think it's pretty easy to figure out what caused it.
But the thing is it's interesting to me that I took it all down. I wrote it all down on what it's going to be. So
what were your friends saying when everybody's looking at it, and you're writing down. They said, "What are you writing down, John?" "Oh, my dream."
Yeah, they didn't.
How did you explain this to the rest of the group you were traveling with?
I didn't explain it to them because it would have made things a lot worse for them in their mind of thinking as it was. Them trying to explain something in plain English for them.
Confirm their private thoughts about
it would have been difficult for them to comprehend.
We always knew he was a weirdo.
Yeah, exactly. Crazy. So I kept this one to myself, and instead of sharing it to just my close-knit group of friends, I decided to share it to everybody listening. Yeah. Millions of people listening.
Share with the people you really don't care about.
Well, exactly. But I took it all down. And you know what? It's specific. And I think that if I have written it down and it ends up coming true, I'm not going to get a reward or anything.
A prophet?
A prophet.
What other terms could we throw your way?
A visionary? I don't know. So it's got to be something like that to where I can see the future. So I wrote it down. And if I'm right about it, I'm going to come out and just start crowing about it as much as possible. But if I'm wrong about it, I'm never going to mention it again.
A lot of false prophets, Tommy, in biblical times.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. Only one way to find out. Yeah. But I'm just telling you that it was an oddly specific dream that I had on vacation. And if I end up being right, I think everybody's going to be really excited and happy about it.
Because we go 7-5.
Because you go 7-5. That's where you're at, going 7-5.
That's the craziest thing of all.
Oh, I know. It'd be, what was it that Mike Nell said? It'd be a dream season?
The dream season. Yeah, we're going to need Mike Nell to pop in. The dream season is complete. Arkansas beats Missouri to go 7-5.
7-5 and on to the Liberty Bowl in Memphis. The dream season. But you know what? At this point, that's exactly what it's considered. It's considered a dream season. But we'll have some fun with this. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be, continuing to talk about the dreams that I've had. I don't know if that's the right framing I want to put on it. But it will be interesting to talk a little bit more about the football season and continuing on our summer segment series, which actually I got to listen to you guys do it. And I will say, who came up with the questions?
Well, the randomizer.
Tommy did? Well, yeah, but I'm saying...
The randomizer.
I understand the randomizer, but you have to throw questions in there. Was that you?
Yeah, I wrote the questions for yesterday.
Very good, Tommy.
Did you hear all three of them?
I did not. Only heard one. But the one I heard, I liked.
Which one did you hear?
It was the one on food.
Oh, the grilling. The best grilling. Non-meats to put on the grill.
Yeah.
We also... let's see. Now I'm drawing a blank. On entertainment, best summer songs you got to have at the pool, songs you got to have at the lake, you know, songs you got to have at the beach. So we did that yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Very nice. Well, very nice. Well,
what's the third one?
Yeah. Guess we'll have to go back.
My notes.
We're going to have to go back and listen to
sports.
It
was the sports. Like, kind of unorthodox well, like, stuff you want to go to.
Best bucket list.
Non-football,
venues,
basketball, baseball.
Yeah. Because we were talking about Wimbledon, the World Cup, and some great sports that happened over the holiday.
Oh, okay.
So what are the things you want to go to, places you want to see, things you want to attend that aren't football, basketball, baseball? Because I don't even know which end of the racket to hold in tennis, but I do want to go see Wimbledon someday. Kind of like non-golfers want to go to Augusta.
Yeah.
Kind of want to see you check out Wimbledon.
Yeah. You wouldn't know what's really going on most of the time, but hey, it'd be enjoyable to watch.
World Cup. There's a lot of people that would love to go to a World Cup.
Yeah.
So we were talking about those kinds of things.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have some more fun with that.
So top that.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, a light lager brewed with a phenomenal strawberry lemonade flavor that's perfect for bringing the fun to every occasion. The new Natural Light Natterdays.
Touchdown, Hogs!
Text in. It's easy. 877-377-6969.
Figure out how we're going to read some of these and interject them throughout the show.
Yeah.
We'll work on that.
Yeah.
And build it into our rhythm here.
You can even send us GIFs or GIFs or however you say it. You know what that is, Tommy?
No, I'll ask my father-in-law.
Okay, ask him about that. Ask them about that. Okay, so it is continuing the Morning Rush Summer Segment Series here on the Morning Rush. So without further ado, let's jump right into it.
All right, here we go, finally.
All right.
It's our favorite time of the year.
Nonsense. I've not yet begun to defile myself.
The Morning Rush Summer Segment of the Day.
All right, someone took away my randomizer button.
Hong Kong Sick wants to know, what do you do if you don't have fingers? Hey, your phone has an audio button. You can. I don't know how you hit that either.
Yeah, just talk to Siri. She'll send you the text. There we go. Thank you for that. Someone took it away from my little thing there. All right, so there's a randomizer.
What happens when you go on a week's vacation? Things get moved around.
I guess. Oh, starting with food. All right.
All right,
Tommy. Ooh, this one's right in your wheelhouse, man.
More so than yesterday? We talked about grilling yesterday.
Well,
baby.
This is barbecuing today. Ooh-wee. So I think we're banging on all cylinders here. All right. The best style of barbecue.
So you're talking like, is it now, Memphis, this is referring, is it Kansas
exactly,
City?
Exactly. Because there is different, everybody has their own version of barbecue.
Right.
And obviously particular areas, like you mentioned, Kansas City, Memphis, Texas.
North Carolina.
Carolina.
Carolina barbecue.
That's right. There's a lot of different styles. So what is the best style of barbecue?
I guess you got to determine what's important to you. Is it the seasonings and the rub like Memphis? Because Memphis is not a lot about sauce. It's about dry rub, right?
Correct.
Dry rub ribs. That's the big Memphis style.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City's more about sauce. Carolina is more about the vinegar-based, mustard-based
yep.
stuff. Texas is salt and pepper, and it's more about beef and briskets than it is about pork. They do pork there. So I'm going to go Texas style because I think brisket is the best thing you can smoke, and it is the most difficult of any cook you're going to have to perfect and to get right because you got to tend the fire. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about throwing in your electric smoker like I'm guilty of it.
Right.
I'm talking about actually smoking a brisket, stick burning, wood fired smoke, and do that for 18 hours and get it all right.
Hard to beat.
That's tough. So I'm gonna go with Texas style.
Okay.
Because it's simple. It's salt and pepper, maybe a little garlic powder, and that's it.
Simplicity sometimes is the best way to have your food, especially when it comes to barbecue. So,
and I think brisket is the best.
And by the way, for those of you who are trying to sit there and wonder about what are the regional barbecues, so the ones that we've mentioned, of course, again, Carolinas, you got Texas, you got Memphis, you got Kansas City. Also, Lexington has a style of barbecue where theirs is more of a dip.
The bourbon-based?
Yeah, well, it's probably got it in there. But yeah, it's more of the Lexington dip. So it's like barbecue that you dip.
Mm.
So, which I thought was interesting in hearing about
that. Never heard of that.
Yeah, I haven't either. And then also Alabama has white sauce.
I love that. I'm going to tell you, y'all are going to be there next week. In fact, you may have to bring me back some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I'm out from the last time I was at Media Days. And there is a barbecue house there. I think it's called Blue Moon or Half Moon or something. They've catered a couple of these things before. Me and Ruskin went and ate over there, and they have this white sauce, barbecue sauce, and it's really good on chicken, but it's really good on,
mm-hmm.
you can put it on, you know, put it on lawnmower parts, and it tastes pretty good. So
can't go wrong with it. But I know we'll have to make sure that we bring you some back if we end up going there.
It'll be eating good next week.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping so. But that's the thing is, like, When I was looking at it, first off, I love barbecue of all types. I can eat barbecue of all types. There's not a particular style that's terrible to me.
You don't discriminate.
Exactly. And in fact, I would even say that the Carolinas, which is the mustard, I like it.
It's got a lot of apple cider vinegar in it and that type of thing.
Yeah. Exactly. So, but if I'm having to choose one, I think I'm going to go with Memphis. And it's just because, again, I don't like my barbecue just being sauced up to the gills and how it's completely dirty and it gets all over you. It's like it's good, but it's not my preference.
Well, if the meat is properly smoked and properly prepared, it shouldn't need a lot of sauce.
Correct.
I did a pork butt on Saturday. I've mentioned this yesterday. Might have been the best one I've ever done.
Really?
And it didn't need any sauce. So put very little in it.
So did you have a rub on it though?
I marinated it, and of all things, try this for the first time on a tip someone gave me. Marinated it overnight in an Italian dressing.
Really?
Didn't even inject it. Put barbecue rub on it, seasonings and spices, and let her rip.
Hmm. Okay.
Used oak and hickory.
I've never heard of that.
I never have either. Might have been the best one I've ever done.
So that's what you're going to be doing from here on out?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to try a different thing. Might be something better. I don't know about it.
You seem like an experimental man. Somebody that likes to try new things out when it comes to their barbecue and everything.
Now, it was against my principles, but I had to work because somebody's went on vacation July 4th, so I had to work. So I had to put it on the electric smoker, which to me, it's kind of like barbecuing. It's kind of like smoking, but not really. I mean, mm-hmm. to me, the real way is I'm going to tend the fire for 10 hours.
Right. Know? Right. So would you say that the style of barbecue you have made the most, though, would be?
Oh, it'd probably be Kansas City style.
Kansas City.
If I'm going to do ribs, they're going to have sauce on them.
Mm-hmm.
In Memphis, don't believe in sauce on the ribs, which is fine. And I kind of also believe in what I said. If they're done right, they don't need a lot of sauce.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I don't like it over-sauced, but I do like a little bit of sauce to dip it in.
Yeah, because there's been even been a time that I was up in Kansas City, and I can't remember which barbecue place it was at, but it was one of the local places there, and I'd order ribs, and it was so bad that I every rib I took, I had to get an inordinate amount of napkins to fill up.
I'm kind of like, we got one from the 479 here on our text line. Memphis, but with a little Kansas City. That's me. I like the Memphis style with the rub and the dry rub seasoning, but give me a little bit of slightly sweet sauce to dip it in.
Okay. But you don't ever dip barbecue in anything, though, right?
What do you mean?
Well, it's like when you actually have it cooked on and everything, you don't do like they do in Lexington where you dip it into sauce.
No, no. Well, I mean, like a rib.
Almost like a
you
chip.
Hand me a rib.
Yeah.
I might dip that in some barbecue sauce, yeah.
Oh, okay. See, I don't like doing that.
Well,
I feel it's a matter of
I'm with Tommy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's just a matter of like, I don't know, just having the taste and everything on the rib itself is about perfect as you could ask. So
I get less on my shirt the way I do it.
Do you not wear a bib when you go out to eat barbecue?
I outgrew all my bibs at the age of 3. I think.
Oh man. Well, again, you can't go wrong with this because barbecue is great no matter how it's prepared. But it is fascinating to me, though, that these regions have come up with their own barbecue styles.
Kansas City has some great barbecue.
They do.
Oh, yeah.
They do. But isn't it weird to me that you have great barbecue in Kansas City, you have great barbecue in Memphis, you have great barbecue in Texas, all places that surround Arkansas, but yet Arkansas doesn't really have a plethora of barbecue joints in this state. That, you know,
well,
I mean,
we got some pretty good ones here.
No, I'm not saying you don't have pretty good ones, but for the amount of, like, from how close everything is, you feel like there'd be more in certain areas, but it doesn't seem like there's really all that many to choose from. There's some good ones, don't get me wrong, but there's just, it's always found that fascinating. It's like, dude, you're surrounded by three different styles of barbecue, like where it's known, and you haven't been able to have anything like that. So I don't know. I don't know, but I've always found that a little fascinating on why that ends up being the case.
The worst plate of barbecue I ever had was pretty delicious. So.
Was it really? Have you ever had bad barbecue?
Oh, we've all had bad barbecue.
I'm about to say.
But pulled pork or some brisket, you suffer through it, you know?
Uh-huh. Is the worst way to have barbecue is when it's really dry? Is that like the worst thing that can happen?
Overcooked?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm with you. Can't really save that. Man, we got a lot of people
dried ribs, dried up ribs that are like 3 days old that they... I hate when you go to one of these restaurants and they try to bring in these ribs out that they've reheated about 6 times.
Send them back.
Terrible.
I'm having that.
Well, you're one of those people. Huh?
Yeah. Pay for quality.
You like spit in your food, huh? Yeah. All right.
I mean, do you not ever return food?
Never.
Really?
Never. I may complain and have them bring me something new, but don't ever send your plate back.
So you don't think that they'd spit on that?
I'm telling what's coming back in it.
Yeah, I trust you people too much. I don't know.
Don't mess with the people making your food.
Now that I will agree with. 100%. That I will agree.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer, with a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist. Natterdays, fun for every occasion.
They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house.
I want to remind everybody that we're going to be joined by Crosby Tuck in the 8 o'clock hour on 8:35, former Razorback wide receiver and also the current and new head coach of Van Buren.
Yeah, been there as their offensive coordinator with Casey Dick, who has moved to Fayetteville now. So we're going to talk to Crosby coming up in the next hour here on the program.
I feel like the thing I remember about him, because me and him are actually the same age, he only had like 9 catches or something at Arkansas, and like 8 of them were touchdowns that year in 07. It seemed like every pass he caught was always a touchdown. Yeah. But I know that he had to battle some injuries, and he wasn't able to finish out his career at Arkansas, but he was a player that a lot of people remember from that 07 season.
Right, and taking over his first head coaching job, I think here in Arkansas, so going to be a big challenge at Van Buren, and we'll talk to him about not just that, but Arkansas football and a fundraiser they got coming up inside our next hour on the show.
Yeah, so really looking forward to that. Another thing that I wanted to get into was we mentioned in the opening about Hunter Yurecek and how he was on 103.7 The Buzz and talking with those guys about some of the things not only coming up and some of the changes, like the uniform changes that will be reportedly announced today. We'll see about the traditional look that he was bringing up. But the one thing that I know is on a lot of Razorback fans' minds, just because of the curiosity of what's going to be done with it, is about alcohol sales and how it hasn't been officially announced on how they're going to approach it because, as you know, the SEC lifted the ban of alcohol sales at SEC venues coming up this upcoming season. And Arkansas has been kind of that one SEC program that has not said one way or another of what they're going to do. And here's what he had to say.
We've got a committee within our Department of Athletics, and it's involving some constituents on campus as well. And we're evaluating that and just got a plan end of last week, a proposed plan that I'm in the process of reviewing. And I'll review with Chancellor Steinmetz, and we'll see if that's something we want to move forward with in some way, shape, or form as we begin football season. And that would be the venue that if we do implement any type of general public alcohol sales, we will walk before we run, and we will do so starting with football season. We'll decide what direction we want to move forward in.
So to me, it sounds like, yeah, that he is not on, that they have a committee together. It sounds, just from going off of that one clip, it sounds like to me that he and there's people at the U of A that are wanting it to happen because they're putting together of how they could logistically make it happen. But yet, as he mentioned in the end there, they're wanting to walk, not run through this deal. They want to make sure they have it all set up.
And that's the part that, to me, when you hear that and you think through that, you think, well, that's a little confusing to me in what he's saying. We want to walk before we run, so let's put it in our largest venue first. I mean, if you truly want to understand it, study it, figure out the processes, making sure the lines aren't too long, but you don't want to have it available in every concession stand. We want to walk before we run. Wouldn't basketball or baseball be the place to start first?
Yeah, but when you want a place, like, because if you feel like the alcohol sales at those places aren't going to be as profitable as what it would be at a football game.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You're going to have to be able to run if you're going to do it in a stadium with, well, it'll hold 75,000. I don't know how many you're going to have in there on regular basis.
Right.
But my point is it's just more controlled. The setup of being able to do it in basketball with fewer people might be an easier place to walk before you run. But I think the reality is, as he knows, there's a segment of the fan base that is demanding is not the right word, but will be buyers of this product if it's available in the stadium.
Correct.
So the question is, do you have beer stands or places that are just for that on the concourses or concession stands set up for that? That's, hey, if you want a beer and you're on the east side or the west side, you go to these one of two areas, and that's what they're doing there. I mean, I think that's what they're studying now is how do we actually go about it? Because like at NFL games, they have vendors coming up and down the aisles. They're not going to do that.
No.
That's part of the regulation, the rule with the SEC. No vendors coming up and down the aisles like you'd see at a professional game selling beer. So you're going to have it in concession stands or special places, obviously IDing people, making sure no one's overserved. They've got limits on hey, we're going to quit serving it at this point in various events.
Yeah.
I think it's end of third quarter in football. How do you put all that in place and then make sure that someone, remember in football, you've got what, 5 to 7 home dates a year. So you got a lot of stadium concession workers and crews that they work and do this job half a dozen times a year. They're not all the way invested. They're not all the way in. So you got to make sure the crews that are selling beer are the ones that are going to be doing it in basketball, baseball, and other places, and they're more bought in on making sure the process is done right. You don't want lines too long, but you don't want to have probably beer slowing down every concession stand you got. There's a lot to consider.
And I don't think you're going to have the Little League baseball team going to be out there doing it.
And a lot of these concession stands, it's a great point, are run on game days by youth groups, church groups, and various organizations as a fundraiser.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
So I think these beer stands, wherever they're going to concession beer in the stadium, it's got to be a standalone operation. Then you've got to get, the different distributors. I know McBride is the distributor for all Budweiser and Anheuser-Busch products in Northwest Target. You got to get your various vendors lined up to make sure you have supply. There's a lot of things to consider other than, yeah, we're just going to start selling beer. Let's do it. Yeah. You know.
Well, let me ask you this, because this is another thing I think is a fascinating angle from it all. Do you think like this would be a completely different feeling or conversation if Razorback football specifically was not having such an issue in selling season tickets. Do you feel like it would be a different angle? Because, and what I mean by that is there's not any like reports of like, this is why it's struggling. But just like, for instance, Tommy, I'm sure you saw this email too, that there's a football offer for men's basketball season ticket holders that came out.
Yeah, it came out yesterday that if you're a season ticket holder in basketball, you can buy the Mississippi State game in November.
Buy one, get one free.
On a BOGO. And it's a different price for the upper level versus the lower level.
You can get two tickets in the lower level for $85 to the Mississippi State game.
40, I don't have it from
40, yeah. 40 for the upper level. So things like that is showing they need to sell tickets.
There is no question that ticket sales, I think it's almost to break the glass panic level. They've got to win this. This year is so big, and that Ole Miss game is so big for this season, and ticket sales are a big reason why. If you could race out to a 4-0 start with a win at Ole Miss, beating Portland State, Colorado State, San Jose State in that stretch before you played A&M, that would do a ton for selling some tickets down the stretch. Because the second half is loaded with the more difficult games for Arkansas, but as we were hearing about your dream earlier in the show, Arkansas could race out to a 5-1 start this year if everything fell their way. And it would obviously have to start with a win at Ole Miss in week two. But, you know, because then they play Kentucky right after you play A&M. So the first half of your schedule, I think, you know, at best, obviously 6-0. That would mean you beat A&M. You'd be 3-0 in the league with wins over Ole Miss, A&M, and Kentucky. Wins over Ole Miss and Kentucky, both road games, however, seem very doable, seem plausible on paper. The A&M game right now seems the most difficult of that stretch. But what would that do to ticket sales? Because that's what Arkansas needs more than anything, is to win some games so people start buying tickets. Mm-hmm. Because I do think it's at panic level right now. Because this is what drives the boat. Football revenue. Ticket revenue. You can talk about, oh, but the SEC is going to write you a check for $44 million. Okay, that's nice, but that's about a third of your budget. Where does the other two-thirds come from? Well, football ticket sales is a big player in that.
Yeah, the check you get from the SEC is more like a bonus. Like, you still have to be able to maintain your own spending and your own revenue
right. As
a football team.
And what is it, about a $115 million operation up there?
Yeah.
So, 40-some-odd million, it's in the low 40s is what they get. Do the math. It's about a third, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little more than that, but not much more than that.
But going back to the original question.
So football ticket sales are crucial here.
Right.
Is selling beer.
Yeah.
I don't think selling beer is going to, is that going to make you go buy tickets if you don't?
No, but it's not going to make you not buy tickets either.
I think there's a chance. Remember where we live. And remember the demographics of who buys tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Who buys tickets?
Families? What do you mean, age group? I mean,
50 plus is a big lion's share of their season tickets.
Yeah.
We live in the buckle of the Bible Belt here. There will be some, and I don't think it's a majority of the family, but there will be some that have some pushback, and there will be some that have a more religious, evangelical view on beer sales within the stadium. And I'm telling you, the first time someone drops one beer on their shoes or down their aisle or they're having to deal with that, they're going to be out. It's going to be a reason they finally throw in the towel. So don't think that everybody's in on this.
They're not. No, they're not. We've had people call in on this show and text in on this show that say that they're not in on it.
I think you got about 10 or 15% that have their religious beliefs and their religious reasons why that beer shouldn't be sold in the stadium. And there's nothing wrong with those views. And then I think you got 10 or 15% on the other end, the reason they don't buy season tickets. I just can't imagine there's a bigger amount of people that's going to start buying season tickets because they're selling beer in the stadium. I think more than anything, it's that 70%, 60, 70% in the middle. It may keep you buying tickets.
Mm-hmm.
It may help you not throw the towel in, as so many have done over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. Let's squeeze in a quick phone call. Clay's in Bentonville. What's going on, Clay?
Hey, listening to guys talking about the concession stuff. I've been in Northwest Arkansas 8 years, and I lived in Kansas City the rest of my life. My oldest did competitive cheerleading. Mm-hmm. So her cheer company actually had a concession stand at the Royals and Chiefs games. So parents volunteered, and you got paid, like, this is 10 years ago, $7 an hour, and all your volunteer time, the money went right towards your child's account. But they had rules in place with regard to you had to be at least a certain age to do it. I mean, it worked out really well from the standpoint of generating money for your child's account. I will tell you, at the time, the margaritas you would buy there, it was a mixture of a pre-mixed margarita and Mountain Dew.
Really?
No tequila, huh?
Yeah, they watered down the margaritas. But anyway, like, what I'm saying is it has worked in places. I get what you're saying about the Bible Belt stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, from a charity standpoint, you know, yeah, you can't have 10, 12-year-olds, you know, doing this. But, nope. You know, they found ways to make it work in other markets.
Yeah. It will be dedicated concession stands for these sales. It will not be at every concession stand.
Yeah, and it goes back to the point that Hunter Yurchek says. We're walking through this. We're not running through this.
You're going to have to go, and we appreciate the call.
Appreciate the phone call, Clay.
Thanks, Clay. It will be, and they'll make it clear. They'll publicize this. They'll have signage up. If you want a beer and you're on this side of the stadium, here's where you go.
Yeah.
If you want a beer and you're in the south part or north or any part of there's going to be designated areas. There's not going to be like just pop into any concession stand.
There's going to be a big fat sign that says beer, and then you just go to there.
Because there's going to have to be ID checks.
There's a lot of things.
You got to go through, you know. And I prefer it that way, because if you're the family that's just, I just need popcorn and a hot dog and a Pepsi.
Cold Pepsi.
Forget the Pepsi. Give me the water. I'll just take the water. Then I don't want to be waiting in line because they're having to ID this guy that needs two Bud Lights.
Yeah. It's going to be separate. It needs to be separate.
Should be.
I mean, it needs to make it a little easier on everybody else.
And that also makes it easier for the guy that doesn't want any part of it.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that has his strong evangelical beliefs. He doesn't have to be caught up in that. Nor should he have to be. He can avoid that completely.
Yeah.
I think that's the route I believe they'll end up going.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer.
Crosby Tuck, former Razorback wide receiver and the head coach of the Van Buren football team. Crosby, really appreciate you joining us, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anytime we can have a former Razorback on, it's always enjoyable. And I kind of want to start right there with you because, you know, me and you actually are about the same age. And you played at Arkansas under Houston Nutt in his final year. You saw kind of the transition of coaches and everything. And it's amazing how far Arkansas's program has come, or in some cases fallen, since during that point in time. But just what's your kind of your thoughts on Chad Morris, your thoughts on the program in general, the direction of it all? Just what's your overall feel on it?
I think I'm with a lot of people right now. I think there's a lot of hope. Of course, last year wasn't what anyone would have wanted, not what Coach Morris wanted for sure. But I think we keep hearing a lot about the recruiting classes that sound like they're pretty strong. And I think Coach Morris is a great coach, and I think it's gonna start showing up a little more each year now.
Yeah.
You know, of course, there's a little bit of being patient. I know some people feel like they've been hearing that for a while, and I understand that. But with this coaching staff, it's just 1 year in. I think patience, matters for him. Give him a little bit of time. I think it's going to end up being pretty good.
One thing that I thought was a difficulty for Brett Bielema was the style of football he played didn't really fit with the style of football you see around our state on Friday nights. Now, what Chad Morris is trying to do is a much easier fit for high school players to transition to, and I think for the college coaches at Fayetteville, for the Razorback coaches to recruit around this state. What's your take on that? I thought Bielema's style versus what Morris is doing, it's just a better fit in today's environment with the kind of football we're seeing around Arkansas. Was that prohibitive for Bielema in our state when you had a style in Fayetteville that didn't really fit with what goes on Friday nights?
I think it's an interesting point for sure. I don't think so, with the exception of the quarterback position. I think it probably makes that individual spot a little more difficult to recruit. As far as the other guys, I don't think it changes a whole lot in terms of recruiting. I mean, there's going to be some stuff that's coached differently, but I don't think it really changes a lot in your recruiting of really any other position on the field outside of that quarterback position. I think it does make that individual spot more difficult, certainly.
You know, Crosby, I've always been curious about how people feel about the style of this type of football that Chad Morris and the Razorbacks are trying to run.
Yeah.
Because I know that in a high school level, it's a very common thing, and that's something that obviously Chad Morris really made his name known in the state of Texas, being a high school coach, and the transition mm-hmm. that it's made into college. Do you feel like just as far as the style of football that Chad Morris is trying to run at Arkansas, that's a winning style and a style that fits Arkansas perfectly as far as in theory?
Yeah, no, I think it definitely does. More importantly, I think I'm kind of of the mindset that there's a lot of styles and a lot of schemes that will work. It's all about how well that style is being coached at the college level, how well you're recruiting for that style. And I think the recruiting for that style is really the biggest thing, which right now it looks like they're doing a tremendous job of that. And I think that's where we'll really start seeing a big difference.
Let's talk about the transition and some of the things you've been going through over the last several months and really the last couple of years of your coaching career. You've been at Van Buren as a coordinator, but elevated to head coach. You were working mm-hmm. with Casey Dick, who was at Van Buren a season, and then now is at Fayetteville. You're one of a couple of Razorbacks now, former Razorbacks, that are head coaches at the high school level. Talk about the last few years of your coaching career and really how all of that has transitioned for you, and now you're the head coach at Van Buren.
Yeah, well, I feel very, very fortunate to be here at Van Buren and to have an administration that saw what I was doing as an assistant and saw my work ethic and what I was trying to put in that role and felt good about elevating me into the head coaching job. So I feel fortunate to work with those men and women in the admin there, and they've been nothing but awesome to me. But yeah, I was going back a couple of years. I was the offensive coordinator at Pea Ridge High School, and we went to our Pea Ridge's first state championship during that time. There, I was fortunate to coach some great players. My time at Pea Ridge, I was a great coaching staff, great roster, and I was there at a good time. And that was an awesome time in my coaching career, and we had an awesome year there. I mean, you know, 13 wins. I think we set school records for passing yards, rushing yards, total yards, mm-hmm. you know, points per game, wins, you know, pretty much everything that we could during that time. And it was a great year, and that set me up to get on the radar for some head coaching jobs, and end up talking with several people during that time. Oddly enough, ended up finding my way down to South Georgia, where I do have some family down there. I'd coached in Florida before, and this was kind of on the Georgia-Florida border. So not completely random, had some connections to down there, but ended up making that move, the head coach down there at a smaller high school. And then when Casey got this opportunity to be the head coach here at Van Buren, he called me about coming on and being the assistant head coach, offensive coordinator. And, you know, kind of went back and forth with doing that, ended up deciding that was probably an all-around best move for my family as a whole, getting back towards this area, getting my wife and kids with her parents and all my kids' grandparents. So ended up making that move, and then one of the best decisions that I've made to come back here to Van Buren, because it's been an awesome, you know, little over a year now since I've been here.
Crosby, let me ask you about just the high school football in the state of Arkansas, because that's one thing that I know gets discussed on this show a lot, and mm-hmm. is always talked about, just how there's not the elite level of talent, individual talent, that's coming out of this state, at least consistently enough compared to other states. But just from when you played at Shiloh Christian back in the mid-2000s to where mm-hmm. high school football is at right now in the state of Arkansas, do you feel like it's really elevated, it's gotten a lot better, and how do you feel about just the individual talent level of a lot of these players coming out of the state of Arkansas?
Well, I mean, you could argue that I'm a little bit of a homer, might have some Arkansas bias here, but I've coached in three different states now, including Florida, where I was at a 7A high school in Florida, where you see some unbelievable talent every single week. I mean, it was incredible, the talent level down there. And everyone knows the amount of Division I athletes that come out of Florida. It's unbelievable. But what I think separates Arkansas so much is the coaching in this state. The high school coaching in this state is so far ahead of what, in my experiences, what I've experienced at other places. Like I said, I've coached in three different states, and there's obviously great coaches in those states. As far as week in, week out, every opponent you're seeing, we just have some great coaches here. Scheme has developed a lot more. The way kids are coaching has developed a lot more, for whatever reason, in Arkansas than it has a lot of places in the country, at least in the experiences I've had. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've noticed that helps set Arkansas up to be very competitive in terms of high school football. Athletically, as far as the kids coming out, I don't know if it's really different. You're just looking at more percentages. I mean, we have a lot less population in our state than some of those states that are sending a bunch of kids out. And of course, the population does make that a little bit more difficult for Razorback recruiting. You have less people in your home state than, you know, University of Georgia does and Alabama does and all the schools in Florida. They have a lot of schools in Florida, but they have a whole bunch of kids down there too. So I think those all play into it. But what I've noticed is that the high school coaches in this state do a great job of getting the most out of their players and getting those guys that have a chance to go play college football as ready as they possibly could be from this state.
Yeah. I know you got a fundraiser and a golf tournament. I want to give you a chance to talk about that in a minute, but I wanted to ask you, because Arkansas has been trying to dig their way out of this hole for six or seven seasons now at the University of Arkansas. Van Buren's had its challenges over the last decade or so of trying to get back on the winning ways that they once had. And it seemed like last year, Casey Dick and you and the rest of the staff started to turn the corner and playing with more energy, winning more games. What was the secret that went into that with your program, and maybe some of the things that we'll see with Chad Morris and his staff? What are the keys to getting kids of that age group to play with more energy, more belief, more confidence? Because we saw it to a degree with Van Buren, and that's obviously what many other coaches that are trying to turn programs around are doing. What was some of the things that helped build some of those initial stages for you guys last year that you're hoping to build upon this season?
Well, I think a lot of it are expectations. And I believe quite a bit more in the way we practice, the way we meet, the relationships our coaches have with our players, and getting the buy-in from our football players more than any of the scheme change. I mean, of course, we're doing we think that we have excellent schemes, and we're putting our kids, giving them a chance to be successful, putting them in the best spot to go win football games. But I think a bunch of it is the way we set things up. I mean, the way we meet, the energy we meet with, the organization that our coaches have in those meetings to keep the kids focused, their attention, and then the way you go practice. And there's nothing to get you more ready than how you practice. And the energy that's practiced with. I think we did a good job changing some things practice-wise last year. It's certainly nowhere close to where I would like to see it end up at, changing a culture of how practice should look and getting people that think they're practicing hard to really practicing hard. And I think that's a difference. People feel like, yeah, I'm playing pretty hard right now, and not realizing that's not the way practice needs to look for us to really take this to another level. Yeah. And to me, that's the biggest change. And for we need to continue to change. I know our staff here believes that fully as well, and is very bought into for them coaching that way to make that change happen. And it's happening. You know, I hope it speeds up. You know, I want that process happening sooner than later. Of course, it does take a little bit of time there, but I like the direction we're going right now. So. And biggest thing we got to do is, in some of those close games in the fourth quarter that we were in, we need to be able to go continue to execute through the fourth and through those pressure moments. Yeah. And
Sounds familiar in Fayetteville, too. Yeah, that sounds very familiar. So, yeah.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right, it takes a lot of support, a lot of community involvement at any program at any level, whether it's the Razorbacks or whether it's a high school program or a youth league program. I know you've got a golf tournament coming up to support your program in Van Buren football, and we want you to tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, this July 12th on Friday, we have a golf tournament coming up. It's at Eagle Crest in Alma. We're starting at 8 a.m. It's a four-man scramble, $400 per team. But with that, other than just the golf you get to play, there is some good prize opportunities that's going to come with that. We have some of the hole-in-one prizes on the par three. The longest one, you can win a new vehicle on hole-in-one on that hole. On the second longest one, you can win a trip for two to next year's Masters.
Ooh.
Another hole-in-one is set of new golf clubs. And then on the shortest one, $500 cash. So we feel like there's some really great prizes. You talk about a chance to go win a new car, a chance to win a trip for two to the Masters.
Yeah.
Some awesome prize opportunities there, along with cash prize just for the team that wins, you know, first place, second place, or third place. We'll have a raffle, some raffle prizes. There's going to be lunch provided by Chambers Bank, who's an excellent support to our football program here. And so it should be a fun day. Should be a great event for us. And we're just hoping that we have a lot of people signed up right now, but we're hoping to continue getting that number up even more. As far as how to sign up for the tournament, it really is as simple as you can just show up that morning. You know, come up at 7:15, 7:30, get signed up just right there at the tournament. Again, that's at Eagle Crest Golf Course in Alma.
All right.
And we'll get going at 8 o'clock.
And that's this Friday, right? That's this Friday.
Yes, that's this Friday. Right. This Friday. And I do have a phone number I'll give out. This is not my personal cell phone number, but we do have a number set up if you want to get signed up or have any questions about the golf tournament. And that number is 479-629-4593. Again, 629-4593. If you have any additional questions about it or want to go ahead and get signed up before the tournament starts. But should be a great event for us.
Definitely sounds like a great event. Crosby Tuck, former Razorback wide receiver and head coach of the Van Buren High School football team. Really appreciate you joining us, Crosby. Have a great one, man, and good luck this weekend, all right?
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.